off. There we go. Take your Bibles, please, and we're turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. But while we're turning there, I need one of our staff guys to find a song for a men's group that is about to come up. And so if one of you guys can help me out, Brother Seth or Brother Drew, we'll make Brother James fumble that up here. But if you guys want to find a song and get ready, because we're going to call some guys up here in a minute, because we need some extra singing for a Western kind of a service. We really need like banjos and a fiddle and harmonica and the jug and the washboard, whatever kind of stuff and all that too. We don't have all that, but get some instruments up here. But we'll get some men up here in a minute to sing. We'll maybe grab some microphones for them as well, if you get fellows don't mind. As you find that in Matthew chapter 19, and as you guys find a song for me, that'd be great. I was trying to look for a bit, but I figured you guys might be good at that. Matthew 19 and verse number 13. Matthew 19 and verse number 13. When you find that, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God tonight? Matthew 19 and verse number 13. And down to verse number 15, the Bible says, Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them, and Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So I want to preach a message tonight, kind of in the theme with Vacation Bible School. I gave a challenge on this in our soul winning time a couple of weeks ago. Caring for the children. But the message tonight, very simple, the kids will get this one: Jesus loves the little children. And so I want to encourage you with that thought tonight as we begin this week. And so let's have a word of prayer, and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the night, and thank you for this time we can gather together. And I just pray for your help with this service, with the message, speak to our hearts, and just have your hand upon this time tonight. We love you. We thank you for your blessings, your love, and mercy, and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Did you find it yet, fellas? Did we get one? All right. If you come on up here, let me grab a few guys. Brother Turner, can you come and join me? You knew a couple you were getting called already. Brother Allen, can you come on up here as well? Let me get Isaiah and Nehemiah. You can join us as well. And is that enough? Do we need to call any other fellas up here, guys? We got any other shout outs here? We're good? We're trying to find the song still? All right. Grab a microphone and jump on in there and sing for us. What are we singing tonight?
Farther Along.
Farther Along. Should we say it with like a southern accent or like... No, don't even try. Don't even try to do that. Just do it. Just do it.
Just
farther
Along.
257.
Oh, you guys got it. You're good.
Is he getting one? He's
getting one. I was getting one.
Oh, we're missing one. High-tech stuff here.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. In our loved ones, when it leaves our home so lonely and drear, then do we wonder why so wicked year after year. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus smiling in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by.
Ready to come up now, too? They're like, oh. Now people are hiding. Why are you ducking under the chairs right now? I don't understand. All right, now we'll get our Bibles out and turn to Matthew again, if you found your place there, chapter number 19. Am I on, fellas? All right, can you hear me all right? Sounds a little quiet on my end. I'm not sure if it is on yours. A little quiet on your end? It is, yes. Crank it up a little bit if you help me out here. I don't know if these things, the danglies here, are going to try to hit me here. Yeah, not all the way up, Hunter, just a little bit up. All right, there we go. We're good. All right, good. Let's look in our Bibles here again tonight and kind of looking at this subject as we get ready for Vacation Bible School. And as I read this passage here, and it's been a few weeks now, I was thinking about this in regards to tonight and praying about it, about Jesus loves the little children, right? And so you're all going to help me out and sing that song tonight because you know that one. And if you've worked in children's ministries at all, we've all sang the song as well. We don't need piano for it, but you can help me out. That Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. And we're going to get in kid mode tonight, all right? Let's sing it with me. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black, brown, white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. If you've ever worked in our children's ministries at all in any way, kids can be cute, they can be funny, they can be silly, and at the same time, they can be naughty and rude and disrespectful. No, our kids would never do that. And no, kids are kids anywhere that you go, but kids are wonderful. Sometimes I think they say, what do they say? God makes children so cute so you keep them alive during their naughty times. But you work with children, there's times where you're going to think, that was the greatest blessing of my life, that I got to work in a children's ministry today. And there's other times where you work in a children's ministry and you think, Lord, please take me now. I can't handle it another week. There's been times where I've prayed for kids to come to church, and there's been times I prayed for them not to come to church. And I thought, Lord, if that kid comes, I'm never going to get through the lesson. I spend the whole time correcting the boy in the back row that's not listening. And it is always an adventure with kids. One of my favorite things that we do when we go home from church or we get home after church on a Sunday morning especially is we'll ask the kids, what did you learn in church today? And if you don't do that, you should. First of all, it's very comical to see what they come up with. And withhold their treats from them that they get as they go through the church. I've got a sticker of Wilbur in my pocket right here that I was given. Your kids ever do that? They hand you stuff and all of a sudden you're holding things and you don't know how you got it or who gave it to you. And that's a parent there, and I'm at the door today and I've just been handed stuff. Withhold their treats from them and say, tell me what you learned in church today before you get your treats that you're given by like a dozen people as they go through the classrooms, and it's like Halloween every day here as they get to get all the goodies everywhere. But we'll come from church and ask the kids, what did you learn in church today? And that is a funny response that you can get. Sometimes you just think, man, Lord spoke to your heart today. You learned the Bible. And other times you think, what Bible were they teaching in there? What happened? And sometimes it's Moses in the ark, and it's Jonah walking on the water, and you never know what they could come up with. And it's great stuff. Ask your bus kids, ask your Sunday school kids, and then sometimes they will shock you, and they will give you some truth, and you think, Lord, I need to go back to church and learn something, because they got more out of it than I did even. But kids are wonderful, and we love having kids here at our church, right? A church that has no children is a dying church. That's the future of our church. Having young families, kids growing up, babies being born, and more babies being born, and that we're growing the church from the nursery on up. And that's exciting. I didn't announce it earlier, but the Romanukes had their baby Rebecca Amelia on Thursday. And so that's very exciting. Brother Tim became a grandpa yesterday, Brother Tim Kellogg. And so that's exciting as well. And I forget the name off the top of my head, though. Paisley. His daughter used to come when she was a teenager and used to, I won't tell embarrassing stories, but exciting. But I love having kids at church. You think, but sometimes they run through the hallways. Yes, they do run through the hallways sometimes, and we're trying to stop them from that, myself included, all right? And so I know it's encouraging for you when my kids don't always obey their kids like other kids are. But sometimes they're going to be running the hallways and messing things up and breaking things and clogging the sinks. And you never know what you may find on a Monday morning or a Sunday night or in between services of what may happen, because we've got kids in church. But guess what? The buildings aren't a museum, right? The church buildings that God gave is not a museum we want them nice and beautiful, but they're going to get used. And sometimes something's going to get scratched and dirty and something's going to happen. But I want to remind you this, that Jesus loves the little children. In this passage here, the Bible says that they brought to Jesus little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples, what? Rebuked them. Can you imagine that? You're a disciple of Jesus. What is your purpose? To bring people to Jesus, right? That's your goal. That's your number one purpose. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you, what? Fishers of men, bringing people to Jesus. And how many times did the disciples rebuke the blind, the lame, the poor, someone in the crowd, the children? You're like, disciples, you're not getting it. And they went to bring the little children. And they said, would you pray for my child? And they rebuked him and said, go away. He's too busy for your child. I hope we're never too busy for a child, right? Too busy to bring a child to Jesus, pray with them, tell them about the Lord. And they rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer, little children, and forbid them not. Suffer or allow, little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And Jesus rebuked the disciples for trying to keep the children from coming to Jesus. I love seeing our buses heading out and going to pick up many times kids, but adults, sometimes part of a football team, to bring them to church. And I love seeing the kids come off the buses and trying to learn their names, right? Learn their names, get to know them. If you get to work in a children's ministry, visit them. You'll learn a whole lot about the kids that come to your class when you visit their home. Meet their parents. See where they live. It'll give you a whole different perspective on the naughty kid that sits in the back of your class, won't it? Man, there's been times I've been there and I thought, man, this kid, and I just had a bad attitude about them, and they helped me with that bad attitude, but I got one as well. And then you go to visit them and it breaks your heart. And you think, Lord, help me to pray for them. Help me to love them like you do. And it breaks your heart seeing how some kids that they fend for themselves for food and clothes, and sometimes they come dirty and smelly, right? They come naughty. Why? Because
most of the kids, a lot of the kids, you know, that we bring here, they're up till 2 in the morning, 3, 4, 5, unattended, watching, doing whatever they want, and they come to church and we think, why aren't they well behaved? Because they need someone to teach them about Jesus. Think about that. You have a lasting impact on these kids' lives when you get a chance to tell them about Jesus. Think, well, I don't teach a class and I'm not involved somewhere. Well, there's a place for you to get involved. There's a process and people that can be involved, that of course. But get involved. Get to know them. Ask their name. Our teenagers come in here and they come and fill in the front row. Many of them have never been in church service of any other than kids' church. Some have never been anywhere at all. Go meet them. Talk to them. Get to know them. And before we take the time to rebuke them, we better get a chance to know their name, right? Before we get on their case, we better ask them, how was your day? Did you get anything to eat today, right? Many, they're fending for themselves, grabbing something on the way out the door because no one's there to just take care of their basic needs at times, and you get to come and bring them to Jesus. You get to point them to Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. The Bible says in Mark 9:37, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And says to receive one of these little children. I want to give you a brief message tonight. And I'm not trying to be super short. We have some meetings and setup and all that. But I want to give you a challenge tonight and an offering at the end of the service. Don't forget about that. But I want to give you a challenge is this. Number one is this. Bring children to Jesus. Bring children to Jesus. Children are the next generation. They're the next generation. The young people think, well, what can they really learn? A whole lot. Kids are smart. They really are. And you think, they're not listening. It's amazing the ones you think that aren't listening, that they are listening. They're paying attention. You think, they don't even want to be here. They do want to be here. You say, but all they're doing is being naughty. They're just looking for attention. And they'll get negative attention. Negative attention to kids is better than no attention at all, if you haven't figured that out about children. Bring them to Jesus. You think, they don't even seem like they want to be here. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus Christ. It says there were brought unto him little children. Some were bringing them to Jesus. Was it the parents? I don't know. Was it some other adults? I would kind of assume the parents. It doesn't say in the story. And they brought them to Jesus. And they said, I just want to bring you to Jesus to have him pray over the children. We have child dedication. We do the beginning of the year and praying over our kids. And we'll get to that point in a little bit. But how important is it to bring children to Jesus? Hey, if we're not, who else is? Right? If we're not out there in the highways and hedges bringing young people on our bus routes, you say, well, what benefits have we seen from our bus routes? Oh, a whole lot for eternity. Amen? You think, well, how much are they giving in the offering and how are they participating and helping? Hey, we're investing in eternity. We're laying up treasures in heaven. We're bringing young people to Jesus and seeing them saved. You think, well, do they even know what they're doing? Oh, yes, they do. They do. And we'll look at that here in a little bit as well. Why bring children to the Lord? So they can hear about Jesus and get saved. They can hear about Jesus. Give the gospel. You teach a class, give the gospel. Give an invitation. Be careful with children. Children are gullible in a sense, good and bad. They'll do what you ask them to do. Be careful with children when leading them to the Lord. They'll just say what you tell them to say. They're sponges. They're soaking up whatever you're teaching them, telling them. They're going to soak it up. That's why the whole YouTube social media stuff is so dangerous for kids, because they'll soak up anything and believe it. They will. But guess what? If they're going to do that, let's help them to soak up the Word of God and to teach them about Jesus Christ. Tell them how they can go to heaven. You say, but they're young. Hey, they can hear about, you're laying a foundation for their life. Maybe they may only come for a couple weeks or a month. I was talking to Brother Seth yesterday as we were traveling back from our quick round trip to Mexico and back, and he was talking about a young person that was in the juvenile hall service. I'm not sure how long ago it was. How long ago? He was in there 2 weeks ago, and then after that he was killed. Was that the one? A couple months ago. Was in a juvenile hall service, and then not too much later was killed. And he said, man, I know I gave the gospel. I can't remember if he got saved. I said, you did your part. You did what you could. Maybe he got saved. I don't know. You think, well, they're young. They have a lot of time in front of them. We don't have that guarantee. Young people, they don't have a guarantee just because they're 7 or 8 or 12. And we must understand the importance of eternity. Bring them to Jesus. You think, well, there's another week, another time. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them how to be saved. Teach them the Bible. Man, kids can learn the Bible. You think, you know, at first, what you know, kids are resistant to learning, right? Kids aren't like, oh, I want to learn something that's good for me today. They're not thinking that. You teach them the Bible, make it exciting, and they'll be excited about it as well. You make it exciting. I mean, you act out that story, and you get excited about it, and use your imagination with that, and kids will learn the Bible. We were going home today, and the kids were telling us their Bible stories, but they learned. I went, wow, you're right. I mean, they went right down the line. So teachers, you did a good job today. I'm not sure whose class it was, but praise the Lord. Thank you for teaching my children the Bible. We're building a foundation for their lives. You think, but they may not stay in church for the rest of their life. You know how many young people think, if I go back to church, you know where I'm going? I'm going back to Shasta Baptist Church. They say, that's my church. They haven't been here for 15 years. But they say, that's my church. That's where I'm going back someday. How many times have those young people that came when they were young and they come back, they sneak in the back door for a service and you go, I haven't seen you in 15 years, 20 years. I know that makes me sound older. Yes, teenagers, I'm a little bit older than you are. But we're building a foundation. You think, well, they're not following it. Train up in the child in the way he should go. That's our part. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's their part. You lay the foundation for their life to come, bringing young people to Jesus. That's why our bus routes are so important. That's why our Sunday school classes are so important. Our King's Kids program, our nursery and our little jewels, they're learning the Bible in there as well. Because we're laying a foundation for our kids for years to come and for our church. Bring young people to Jesus. Number two is this, pray for them. They brought the little children to Jesus and they said, would you pray for them? Would you pray for the kids? Would you just pray for them? I don't know what their needs were. I don't know if it's because they were lost, because they were being naughty. I don't know. You know, pray for my kid. Somebody help them. Pray for them. Pray for me. You know, right, parents? Can I get a testimony on that? Pray for me. Lord, help me. Pray for me and my kids. But they brought them to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you pray for them? What a wonderful testimony. Parents, keep your kids in church. Keep your kids in church. Don't just send them. Bring them. Be faithful. See, we have a bad example for some that we send them to get an education or we send them to learn about the Lord, but we don't lead the example, parents, the way spiritually. Keep your kids faithful in the house of God. Keep them faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, which one is most important? All of them. Be in the house of God every time the doors are open, but pray for our kids. The children were brought to Jesus to pray for them. Children are under attack from Satan today, like maybe no other day. The internet is just, it's destroying young people's minds and purity at a younger age, I believe, than ever before. Parents aren't wise enough. If I haven't said it 1,000 times, I'll say it again. If you give your kid a phone with unfiltered access to look at whatever they want, you're a fool. You're a fool. There is so much wickedness that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and there is so much wickedness at a child's fingertips. You think, my child knows better. They would never do it. Your child's a sinner like every other child's a sinner as well. Right? Amen. Christian parents, don't think that your children are above that. We better be praying for our kids. We better be praying for our kids. The devil's out to attack the young. Why? Because they have a future. They have a future. And the devil knows if I can get them when they're young, pollute their mind, change their direction, get them off course, ruin their testimony, then they're not going to live for God. They're going to get off course. We better be praying for our kids. Better be praying for them. Pray for your children. Pray for your children that are under the roof of your home. Pray for them. You think, well, they're old and they're gone. Tell me when a parent stops being a parent, right? Pray for your kids, right? They're out there somewhere today, right? Hope they're living for God. Either way, pray for your young people. Pray for them every day. What was Job doing when the trials came? He was praying for his kids. They were married. They were gone. He was praying for his kids. Pray for your children. Pray for the children of our church. You say, I don't work in a children's ministry. What if you were to take that roster of names and you said, could I pray for your class this week? Think about that. How powerful would that be? Could I pray for your bus route? Could I pray for the kids that are signed up for VBS? Could I just pray this week by name for the kids that are coming? And you, I just bring it before the Lord in prayer. Before we ever stand up, teachers, workers, and try to teach or work with our children, we better be praying for them first. We better be prayed up before we show up. Pray for the children of our church. Pray for the children in our area. If you drive around and you see kids, you drive around, you see kids walking down the street, and I think, you are not old enough to be out without a parent. I want to stop and say, where's your mom and dad? All right, I'm that old now. And what are you doing? And pray for the children in our area. You drive by our public schools, there's kids flooding in and out of there. Pray for them. Pray for our kids in our area, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Pray for the children in our area. Pray for those that are working in our children's ministries. Pray for them. It's so important. The devil's out to attack our kids, and the devil is out to destroy our ministry through our children's ministries. He would love to have one little slip up to take the church down. I'm not trying to scare you, but in a sense, we should be on guard spiritually, knowing that the devil is looking to attack. And workers, we better be wise and careful with what we do, what we say, how we act, and we better be prayed up and put up that wall of safety to keep the devil out, that hedge of protection that comes from the Lord. We better be prayed up. We better be prayed up when we're working with our kids. What a privilege, a responsibility as well. And then thirdly and lastly tonight is this, learn from the children. Learn from the children. Turn over to Luke chapter 18, would you please, for a moment. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15. Jesus loves the little children. Luke 18, and look down, and verse number 15. And the Bible says here, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus said unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now look at this. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. How many times do we make a lesser example of a child that gives their life to the Lord? Or that gets saved? Oh, I don't even know. I don't even know if they know what they were doing. Well, I don't know if you knew what you were doing either. Right? I don't know. You don't know. Let's not stand in judgment before others. But he said, verily I say unto you, those that rebuked the ones bringing the child to Jesus, and they said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And he said, hey, if you don't have the faith as a child, then you're not entering into the kingdom of God. The example that we can learn from a child. He used the child as an example as he rebuked them. Sometimes we say this, well, they're just children. What do they really know? It's amazing how much children are listening. They're watching. And it's amazing the faith and the example that children have. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, and children, listen to this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Let no man despise thy youth. Children, you're an example to the adults here. Did you know that? Children, you're an example to the adults here. Let me do this really quick. Our kids, if you're sixth grade or below, sixth grade or under, would you stand up? Stand up really, really tall. You're probably not supposed to do this. You can stand in the chair if you're really short. All right? Just this once. All right? Children, you're an example to those around you. They're watching your faith. People are watching. Look at them, how they're acting. Look at how they straighten the psalm books, how they said their memory verses. Look at how they're singing out. You're an example to the adults that are around you, the faith that you have. You can be seated. You're an example to others around you. Sometimes your kids will totally shock you by what they do in a good way, right? They'll shock you in the other way too, but in a good way. Isn't it a wonderful thing, parents, when you see your children do the right thing without you telling them to do it? Isn't that like, that's like earth-shattering, like drop the mic moment, like, man, we just made it. They did right. Now they'll get you off that high horse a moment later and turn that around too. But when your children does right and they're kind and forgiving and loving, and mommy, why don't we tell them about Jesus, the person that you're trying to get away from? You've been there before. I've been there. You know, how come, you know, we've done this before? Why don't we let them stay in our house? Why don't we give them a ride? I'm like, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking I'm out of here, right? The faith of a child. Learn from the faith of a child. Don't just dismiss it. Oh, they don't know. They do. God's working on their hearts. Jesus loves the little children. He says, if you don't have a childlike faith, hey, if you didn't come to Jesus as a child and say, God, I'm nothing, I come to you by faith and I accept you. I can't do it without you. Children, but children are pretty helpless, right? They're not going to work, paying the bills, taking care of things. You've got to provide for them. They just have faith. Mom and dad are going to take care of me, right? Kids are trusting, sometimes to a fault. Just trusting. May we learn from the faith of a child. Learn from their faith. Don't just dismiss it. Learn from their faith. Learn from a childlike love. A childlike love. And children that they'll go to a stranger and go and run and grab their leg and give them a hug. And then they might realize it's not actually their mom or dad, and then they'll run away. But sometimes a random person, and just, you know, give them a big old hug and care for a person that we may have, again, turned away from. Learn from the love of a child that you see from them. In closing tonight, I want to give you a challenge to take home. Would you find someone that needs to be invited to either VBS, Vacation Bible School, or to come to church? Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a kid you pass in the street somewhere. Be appropriate with that, by the way. Don't drive a kid down the street and stop and hand him a flyer at the door. That doesn't look good. All right, one of our workers did that at a big day, and I got called for that, and I said, I'm sorry, I'll talk to them about that. That does not look good, all right? But find the parent, okay? Talk to the parent, adults, be wise with that. But find a young person that needs to hear about Jesus. Invite the parents to come too, first of all. Let's get the parents to come as well. But many times they'll send their kids to come, and they may not. Encourage the whole family to come. But would you find someone that needs to hear about Jesus, and you can be that testimony, that witness for them? Number two is this. Would you pray every day this week for Vacation Bible School? Whether or not you're working or not, pray every day. And if you're not able to work, would you set aside extra time? The service from 6 to 7 or so, pray through that hour for young people that are going to hear about Jesus Christ. Our kids are going to be learning about the Bible and memorizing verses. Would you pray every day this week? So number one, would you find someone, a child, find a family, but find a child you can invite to come to the Lord. Number two, would you pray every day this week? And you could pray by name even for your kids or the kids in our church. And then number three, would you watch and learn from the faith of a child? Let's bow our head and pray. We thank you, Lord, for the night. And thank you, Lord, that you love the children. Lord, I think about you loved me enough to save